You're listening to the Broadway Podcast Network.
Welcome to a brand new episode of Off Book. I can't even really say
that. I'm like, you sound like you holding on a gun and change your hand.
Welcome to a brand new episode of Off Book presented by Broadway Black. We're here right now ready to hit our marks and go off book right now. I don't know if I'm ready right now, but
I can tell from that right now. I'm like, do you mean that? Are you sure it's right now?
I really tried.
You really did try.
I pumped it up.
Come through.
But I'm Drew Shay.
I'm Donye Love.
And Crickets. That's it.
Mind you, though, Princess Amber Mind was going off in my head,
right,
though.
It was going off in my head. Everybody else was hearing it in their head.
Exactly.
Too.
Come
but
through.
Amber's not with us this week. Last time it was like me and Amber, you were gone.
Yeah.
And now it's just me and you this week.
Come through.
And Amber is in Williamstown.
Booked and blessed.
Always.
Booked and blessed.
I'm so tired of her. Like,
come
I'm
through.
Tired of her,
I'm
tired of her.
She better get her life and she better get her coin.
Listen,
okay?
No, she,
get them both.
She's going to get the coin.
Come through.
She's getting the coin.
Yeah, she's out there working on a new musical workshop.
Oh, don't give me the line because I don't know.
Well, I know. I'm
okay.
I'm telling the truth.
Okay.
You can get the line. I'll tell the truth.
Okay.
She workshopping a new musical out
gotcha.
There. I don't remember what the piece is or like who's attached, but I know that's what she's doing.
Gotcha.
So get your life, girl.
Hey, get it in.
Come through.
So I know y'all mad at us about last week, but we had a really good episode.
It was a popping episode.
Was
so I'm even mad at us. No, I'm not mad at us. I'm mad at technology.
It's right.
Blame technology.
I should have done like two or three backups. Like,
that's the same thing Brandon was saying. My husband was like, now you know for next time.
Right. I just, because we all had so much going on mm-hmm. last week. It was the closing of your show.
Yeah.
Amber was running off to do something, a rehearsal or something.
She
was running off to do something. And we couldn't go all the way downtown to the studio.
Yeah.
Because of the fact that we had, the times like were crazy because your show started at 7:30. We usually record like on Sundays at 6:30
mm-hmm.
to 8:30. And so when we do that, we're in the studio all the way like at the tip of town.
Yeah.
But his show.
Come on, tip of town.
Right. Well, ain't it though?
It's the tip of town.
Listen, we can
well,
go
my mind just got a little
water.
Nasty, but yeah.
You know what? I can't with you. I'm not doing this.
I'm just keeping it real, but come on, tip of town.
But we usually have to come all the way down to the studio, all the way to the tip of town. And last week, we couldn't do that because Danye's show was closing.
Yeah.
He had to be there, and, you know, I had to be there. Even though I ended up going home, I didn't even stay.
You did because you were over it.
I wasn't over it, but I was over it.
Mm-hmm.
And also, I had to give my ticket away. I couldn't, like,
mm-hmm.
I wasn't going to try to steal another. Like, I'm not stealing the seats, but like,
I
give
get it.
Other people opportunities.
And that's
you know,
what I love.
Everybody wanted
about
to come at
did.
The last minute, like the last 2 days. People come out some
blowing you
can
up.
You do me, and it can like right. Like I'm the playwright.
Blowing.
Like I can't do nothing. I gave you everything I had.
And mind you, it was so many people came to the theater. Like I was like, Danye, find somewhere to hide. So many people came to the theater.
The
like
final night.
Yeah, coming up to me. Like, hey, can you do anything?
Oh, no.
It ain't like literally. I was like, this is who you can talk to because there's nothing I could do. This is who
but
you
see,
can go. When you, this
we could have
talk
something
to.
The first couple of weeks.
Exactly.
When we was telling y'all to come.
Exactly.
And then with empty seats.
Exactly.
Like, you had the opportunity, but you waited until the last. Niggas. Niggas, stop doing that.
At the
that.
End of the day, hashtag niggas.
Right. Like, stop doing that. That
mm-hmm.
pisses me off because nobody, especially if they're in a show or involved with the show, nobody wants to be hounded or asked
Not
about
at
tickets.
All. Because, like, that's
the last thing
that I'm thinking about.
Right.
The last thing
the last
I'm thinking
thing.
About.
So stop doing that, y'all. Like, mm-hmm. and I'm
especially on closing. Nobody's
yes,
thinking about that.
Like,
nobody's thinking about that in the least bit. So I was
and,
just like, this is who you can talk to.
Right. You kept pointing them to Candy. Ain't that her name, Candy?
Katie, but okay. Come through, Candy.
Same thing.
Come through, Candy.
I don't know why I want her to be Candy.
Were
so
you
bad.
At the Players Club or something?
You know what? I can't.
I can't with Candy.
But that seemed like that would be her name.
It don't. This white woman name is not going to be Candy. But I mean, if that's what you want to make up in your head, she can be something.
You know,
Candy.
I gotta keep it interesting. You know, I gotta keep it interesting for myself because, my God. But yes, I wanted to see the show again the final night, but I did not see it and I ended up going home. And I was gonna come back and like kick it with y'all.
Mm-hmm.
But you know, my body just said no.
Body said no, nigga.
Yeah, like on Sundays, my body just be saying no.
As it should.
Like today.
That's the day to rest. And your
yes,
body needed it.
Yes and no.
Yes
like,
and no, okay.
Sundays are like, I need to prepare for the week.
Mm-hmm.
But like this particular week, I've just been like free balling. Okay. Like, free fall. Come just to say that.
Because you saw my face, right? My face was like, you ain't wear drawers all week?
Well, I mean.
Well, there you go.
Right.
If you ain't wearing drawers, your drawers looking too cute.
Oh my God, my drawers was too cute the other night. Okay, so we just came back. Wait, let me finish saying what I was saying before.
Let me shut up.
Because we didn't get an episode because the file ended up being corrupted. We tried to record. It was a great episode.
Like, damn technology. It was a popping episode.
Right, we answered questions. We was laughing. Like, we was in the pocket. Like, It was great. So we're going to go back over some of those hot topics today, even though Amber's not here. And we're going to answer one of the questions because we want to wait for Amber to get back so that we can. We're probably just going to do a questions episode next week. Okay. Or we might need to record a full episode and then just record a questions episode. That way we'll have something
come through
just in case.
Oh, that's actually really smart.
Yeah.
That's a really good idea, actually.
So we'll do that probably next week. If we can get the time, because y'all know our 2 hours be like flying.
Yeah,
flying
they past. Really do.
But yeah, so we apologize. We're here this week. We are excited to be here. And like, it's been an eventful week. Like,
it's been a really good week.
Well, yes. But oh, my draws was cute.
I actually didn't see them, but what they were blue, right?
Yeah, they were like blue and white stripes.
Okay, come through.
So we were at another Williamstown. What is this called?
Another Williamstown. Powerhouse.
Powerhouse
up at Vassar College. Another Williamstown. Even though people do kind of get the two confused from time to time because they're both on like college campuses.
Yeah.
But yeah, Williamstown, and then you have Powerhouse.
So you had a new play. Like,
I had a new play.
Already, Danya has
come
already moved
through.
On. Like, Danya has moved on.
That is good.
It's closed. It's first off Broadway experience,
like,
show, like
closed on Sunday and Tuesday. I was up at I'm about to say Williamstown myself. Up at Powerhouse, up
yes.
at Powerhouse at Vassar. Yeah, and it was and so it's
in Poughkeepsie.
In Poughkeepsie, it was what like 2 hours away on Metro North, and it was a play that I was commissioned to write. The end of last year.
By who?
By MTC.
Okay.
Right?
Also, this is going to be an MTC play.
We'll put that out into the universe.
Well, man, they commissioned you. They paid you for it, didn't they?
Yeah. We'll put it in terms of like a production happening through them, we'll put that into the universe. Because so that, since just because they commissioned me doesn't mean that they'll necessarily produce it.
Okay.
Right? And so.
Well, it was good.
Thank you.
You be having the Elin Harris tease, bitch. I can't. Like, I be feeling like I'm 16 again.
But no, literally, I got mine because so I'll share what the experience of the reading was like, right? And so MTC commissioned the piece the end of last year, and around the same time when they told me that they wanted to produce Sugar, they were like, we also want to commission you. So I started writing this play because I was going through this like experience in this time, and like I don't want to give the play away, but I kept having these thoughts about like the God forbid happening, and so I said the only way for me to navigate through what I was thinking about and like through that just like emotional trauma was to write it. So I wrote this play, and a really good friend of mine, Malika Oyateman, bomb as director.
Now, I'm gonna tell you what made me mad at this reading.
What?
I'm with T fan.
Okay. So I'm like, spill tea. So a bomb as director. I know you will. So the play is the first play of mine set in Philly, North Philly to be exact. And if anyone knows about North Philly is its own place. It's beautiful, it's rich, it's colorful, and it can also be like really dark, and just like really aggressive, like a lot of hoods. But it's also the beauty in there as well. So this is my first play set in Philly, North Philly. Malika is also from Philly. And so we all went up to Vassar together. It was me, Jay Afonz Nicholson, Chris Davis, Brittany Tellu, Marshawn Davis, Renika Williams, Clinton Lowe, Armand Stotz. So all of
you
us collaborators. Yeah, because like we, and so I know them so well because we had a popping time. And it's not like when you have like workshops in a city or what have you, when you spend like X amount of hours in the space, then you go to your respective lives afterward. We're all in this small town together.
Right. So it's like being back in college.
Exactly. Right? So we rehearsed during the day, and then at night we would just all go over like one of our apartments and just play Uno until like 2 o'clock in the morning. And like we were so black. All of our rehearsals started at 1 o'clock. Not nobody 10 a.m., not nobody 11 a.m., because we were playing games until like 2-3 o'clock in the morning. We were like, we gonna have our rehearsal at 1 o'clock. So we would do like 1 to 7, and then after rehearsal we would just go and kick it. And so why I was so nervous when it came time for the reading, because this was, so I pride myself on trying the best I possibly can to write specifically for and about Black people, mm-hmm. in particular Black queer people. Mm-hmm. And so the rhythm, the language, is things in there that oftentimes if you aren't a part of the culture, you might miss
it. You don't know, right?
Like, well, you might miss it.
Things, like.
Yeah, and like it was a moment where, like, you pointed to me, it was like, I bet all these white people was like, who is bull? What does that mean? Right? It was so funny because I actually had a conversation about that at school when they were asking that same exact question. Like, oh, I thought Bull was the dad. No, Bull is actually a nigga. Just point blank period.
Right,
exactly.
Right.
And so I say all that to say, it was about 98% white people in the audience.
Oh, yeah.
Like, it was white as all get out.
White as hell.
It was like get out. Mm-hmm. Right? And so.
Oh, my gosh. Like the auction scene.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it really was.
It was very much like that. And so I was like, I already went in there knowing that I would have to decipher by paying attention to the audience for certain moments. I was like, okay, this might be a moment where I need to go back and really look at the story craft wise, mm-hmm. or don't even pay it no mind because the audience just doesn't understand it because it's not a part of their culture. But I was surprised at how it went over.
Well, it was a couple of us in there. It was a couple of Black folks in there.
It was.
We held it down. Billy Porter was there.
Yeah, he was.
We held it down.
He was getting his life. And there's, in particular, it's so the story is about some Altoids.
Oh, okay.
So it's this. You're like, what's that?
All right, I'm hungry.
So it's this. So the main character is a rapper. And he's at the precipice of just like really exploding onto the scene.
Mm-hmm.
And so scene four starts with, I mean, Amber got diaspora, so I'm trying to throw out little words here and there. Sprinkle y'all in her absence.
Yes, that's the word of the day.
Come through, precipice.
Yes.
And so it's a rap that starts the fourth scene of the play.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a super colorful rap, right?
Right?
And I'm thinking this might be, even before going up to Vass, I was like, whenever this play gets done, this will probably be the moment when a lot of motherfuckers get up and walk out. Because I'll just call it colorful.
Right.
But literally, after the rap was done, it actually was a round of applause.
Right.
I said, what y'all white people know about this? But so
they
that
just
was.
Wanted to be down.
I think that's what it was.
They wanted to
they
be
wanted
down.
To be
even the
like Brandy.
Next to me. Was not even like able to laugh until I laughed. So it was like almost like we were giving them permission to laugh.
Permission.
Because they really didn't know
like how to navigate it and
piece,
exactly.
Right. And some people actually did leave after intermission.
Oh, they actually did.
Yeah, some
like
people actually
it was a row, and because like Drew, my husband Malika, and I all sat in the very back together, and it was like the whole just about 95% of the row in front of us was bounced.
Right.
And didn't come back for the second act.
That's crazy to me.
It is what it is.
Because the play was good as hell.
Come through.
So, you know, I was sitting there with my little, with your little blanket.
And this is why I love Black people, y'all. He took a cheetah blanket, wrapped it around him,
and
sat on the middle, on the steps, rocking back and forth, experiencing it. But, and so, I will say, this was a moment that actually really hit me as to why I have to continue to tell the stories that I tell. Because I was watching you, who was sitting right in front of me, right? I was watching Brandon, who was sitting right next to me, experience the piece. And like there are intimate moments between these two characters, and I was just watching y'all really experience it,
yes.
and take it all in.
It was beautiful.
And Malika, my director, leaned over to me and was like, "Wow, I get it. Y'all are also starving and dying for representation."
Yes.
And I was like, "Yeah." We are like we want to
like
also
our
see
real,
ourselves reflected exactly,
our hearts.
Exactly, and not just and of course is nothing wrong with it because it is what it is, but not just the salacious side,
right,
but also like you said, our hearts, these intimate moments, and like what
the
that
tough
looks
choices.
Like, exactly,
yeah.
exactly,
the tough choices to love. I think that's what that was
Ooh.
About. Like,
yeah, come through. I can't wait till somebody asks me to come and talk about this play. I'm like, it's about the tough choices to love.
Yes,
I got that from Drew. Come through. You actually helped me out with that one.
Yes,
but yeah,
it's a really beautiful piece. And you know, I'm always in awe of your work. And you actually,
thank you, boo.
And I told you that you inspire me. You one inspire me, yes, but you revive my love for the theater again.
Mm-hmm.
You make me see what is possible. You allow me to see what's possible for this art form to be able to do, to bring Amen. To the table. And like that's what I said. I felt like I was 16 again, you know, underneath my covers reading Elin Harris.
That's really what it get because you was underneath the covers.
Yes.
Yes, I was. The cheetah print cover at that.
It was cold.
It really was.
But what I was going to say was that sort of pissed me off. The microaggression was when the lady came out and she introduced the piece and was saying, you know, we're happy everybody's here. It's directed by Malika. And she's like, oh, man, I can't remember her last name. Like, girl.
Mm-hmm.
And then she went on to say, like, I know. And then she said it, Oyetiman.
Mm-hmm.
And
then, with Malika's help.
With Malika's help, right. Mm-hmm. But then she said, you know, I hate doing that. I'm always, like, struggling with people's hard last names. And I said, it's not hard.
Mm-mm.
It's not hard.
Because you can get Schwarzenegger.
But it's not hard.
It's not.
And so I just don't understand, like, the fact that you would even put that in, like,
into the atmosphere like that.
Mm-hmm. It's not hard, girl.
Yeah.
She's a person.
Mm-hmm.
You ain't got nothing else to do today but introduce this piece and get her name right. And you could not do that.
Yeah.
That pissed me off.
That's real.
That's
Malika too, yeah.
Yeah, that's a microaggression to where that all this work that I've done, where y'all paying me pennies to be here to develop this work, and you can't even get my name right.
Mm-hmm.
That pisses me off. Like, I don't know. Mm-hmm.
Yes.
We just have to...
Yes, and what was dealing with, and it's going to be like that, unfortunately, whatever institution you go to, because these institutions are white as hell. Mm-hmm. But the thing that was the saving grace for us, like I said, it was having us together. And, like, we were just, like, we had a black-ass, amazing-ass time. And it honestly became this, like, overall joke of whenever you saw black people on the campus, they were like, oh, they're in Donye's play.
Mm-hmm.
They're in Donye's play.
Me and Brandon got there. You know, we rode the train together.
Uh-huh.
So me and Brandon got there. We were like, where are the black people? And we saw saw a black person in the distance.
And who was this black person?
We had to walk. Like, there's somebody. They can point us in the right direction. It was Clinton.
It's somebody from my play.
Somebody
from my play.
But all the white people were looking at us like we were statues.
Yeah.
Like, we were not supposed to be there. Like, mm-hmm. What are you doing here? Why are you here? Like, literally, like, get out.
Exactly.
And when they walked, it was really eerie.
Yeah, and that's why I was so excited. I said nervous, but also, like, really excited to be up there with this play, because out of all the plays I've written thus far, that is The North Star, which is the name of the play for me, is at the time the most culturally specific and just flat out blackest play that I've written thus far. So to be in this white space making room for this particular blackness, it was everything that I wanted to be with the people that I wanted to be with. And we just had, like I said, a bomb ass time.
Yeah, I bet I thoroughly enjoyed it. And even when, you know, I stayed afterwards.
Come through, because you were talking about leaving, but you said, I'm gonna stay a little longer so we can have a good ass time.
We did have a good ass time.
Come through, we really did. It was popping.
It was definitely popping. Cord was down there.
Come through. Yeah, he actually has a residency. So yeah, he's been there. I don't know how he's doing it, so God bless him. But he's been there for 3 weeks now. He has another week. It's for a 4-month. Come through.
I guess that's a vacation, a serene vacation.
You know, it is, though, even though we talk about, like, the whole whiteness of it all, but just to be upstate, around the trees, just all of those, like, the nature, it is really beautiful.
Yeah, come on, foliage?
Come on. Yes, foliage.
Yes.
These words are coming out the diaspora right now. Precipice. Foliage. Yes.
I'm getting it.
Yes. Come through.
So, also... Since we, like, didn't even know, I'm just mad that the episode was so good. Because
it was really popping, y'all.
And I'm trying to, like, make sure we recover what we talked about.
And like Drew tried. So he really went to the Apple store. He came to closing night, brought his laptop to Brandon, because Brandon's like a really tech person.
Oh, shit.
Technology will get you every time. We're in the studio talking, and his phone just want to do his own thing. He's trying to cut it off, and it's hard to even cut off. Technology will do his own thing, and it keep going.
Okay,
is that Instagram? What is it?
No, it was like, I don't know what that. I really don't know what that was. Like, an ad popped up, and like.
Luckily, it wasn't porn.
No.
Because I remember.
Listen. Anyway.
Anyway.
So we're going to go on to the hot topics.
Nasty.
Hot topics. And wait, what else? You were all week in.
Yeah, all week.
Okay.
Yeah.
And I didn't do much this week. I really was just kicking it, like. But I did want to talk about Neptune, because I talked about that last week.
We still can, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
A guy named Timothy Dwight.
Mm-hmm.
did his own.
Yeah, let's
show.
Relive the story because there's a story behind
it. Oh my God, it's like
let's
he
relive
did
it.
That.
Yeah.
I actually want him to come in and do that Popeye's fried chicken piece.
Oh, we should have him do that.
I really do want him to come in and like.
He would live. We would live.
Yeah, let's do that.
Yeah, I would love that.
I know we'd be saying that, but like, let's
make it happen. Come through.
But it was a really good piece. It was mm-hmm. about his life, his story. Mm-hmm. And he's never acted before. It was directed by Zaleon Livingston.
Mm-hmm.
And it was just really beautifully done. And, you know, like I've been saying, I'm on the path of, you know, I've been calling it the forgotten theaters or the forgotten
mm-hmm.
works,
mm-hmm.
Things that are not mainstream.
Right.
And so I've been just really adamantly seeking out those particular types of productions. And this was just really beautiful. He talked about his life, his experiences with, you know, being HIV positive. It was set on a subway train for the most part mm-hmm. in New York. And it was just really good. I don't know how to explain mm-hmm. how he sort of took us on a journey that was funny. It was liberating. It was joyful. It was tearful.
Mm-hmm. And then also Tim is a spoken word poet as well, right?
Right.
So like
right.
that was influenced in the
definitely.
Piece, right? Okay.
But I could definitely see how Zaleon took, mm-hmm. Took what he had and what he's good at mm-hmm. and sort of elevated it to
for the theater.
Right.
Right. A theatrical performance.
To do a one-man show is really hard.
It's tough.
That you are on stage by yourself,
it
hour and a
tough.
Half or however long the piece is. And you just go.
Yeah, that's really where like emotion and ancestors meet craft and technique to like persevere
to right.
and to keep it going. Yeah, to sustain.
To be, like, in the pocket.
Yeah.
And he did a really great job. I went the very first night and he did a really great job. So I was really proud of him. And then he ended up proposing to his boyfriend
aww,
the same night.
Oh, yeah.
And so if you watched
Harry.
Our IG story, yeah, you would see the proposal on our IG story. But it was just really beautiful. So I wanted mm-hmm. to make sure that I brought that back up because we talked about that last week. And then also, wanted to talk about, give all the props to the Emmy nominees.
Yeah. Oh, yes. We did have a bomb-ass episode.
I know. We don't keep talking about it because then they're going to be mad.
Yeah, okay.
Because
it's all coming back to me. Yes. 29, right?
Yeah.
29.
It's a lot of us. And I'm really, really happy
to see. Look at that melanin.
Just so many.
Like, it's like familiar faces and new faces up there.
I'm trying to tell you, like,
yeah,
just Titus Burgess, mm-hmm, Donald
mm-hmm,
Glover,
mm-hmm.
Just so many different names, Brian Tyree Henry, and a lot of theater people too that have been working in the theater. Cicely Tyson,
uh huh.
So just a lot of, and they made history. Like, this was so. I can't even speak today.
Like Brandon Victor Dixon.
But yeah, Brandon Victor Dixon, produced uh-huh. by Superstar. So there were 29 black actors nominated, shattering 2017's record of 19.
Ooh, yeah, shatter?
Yeah.
Come through.
But I just think they're all deserving.
Like, yeah. And then also, like, what I love is, like, there are categories that have, like, 3 to 4
black
people.
People
in them.
Yeah.
Right? It's not just your one token.
That's
right?
Gonna be hard to...
Yeah, but like, can you? Here go his damn phone again with technology. Lord have mercy. But like, can you just imagine a world where like that is the norm, where it's not just one black person in a category, but it's 3 to 4.
Yeah.
In a category. And then also
Cat Williams is nominated.
That's when you know.
But
we are on the verge.
Atlanta.
He actually did do really good
he
on the episode.
Like, he was like
he slayed it.
He
even
did.
Though he did give Cat Williams with a storyline. But he
Cat Williams with depth.
Come through.
He did.
Come through. No, he did. Mr. Alligator Man.
He had a backstory.
Come through. He did.
We know that man. That crazy man.
Oh, we actually really do.
We know we really do.
We really, really do. And that's the thing. And like, that's why it's so beautiful. Like, shattering, like you said, because that's exactly what it is. Like, shattering, what, 2017?
Mm-hmm.
And that was last year, right?
Yeah.
That was just last year.
You gonna say 2017? That was last year.
Because
right?
I actually had to pause for a second. But no, it's just
so
beautiful.
So
it's so beautiful, and like it just
Jeffrey
made me so
Wright,
excited.
Sterling K. Brown, Tracy Ellis Ross, Issa Rae, Anthony Anderson, Donald Glover, Thandi Newton, Brian Tyree Henry, Titus Burgess,
mm-hmm.
Kenan Thompson with his first nomination after
mm-hmm.
being on Saturday Night Live for 10 years. Leslie Jones is nominated for Saturday Night Live. Regina King, John Legend. Just
and these folks that you're talking about all gave stellar performances.
They did,
right? And so, like that's the thing that has me so excited to watch now, to like see who will take it home, because they're all deserving. Mm-hmm. Every single one of them. And then also just shout out to Sandra Oh for being like the first Asian woman to be nominated. Crazy?
But she's good. Like she's talented.
I haven't seen it, so I'm excited to watch it. But
I mean, she's a great actress.
She is a good actress. Right. But I'm what is it? Killing Eve?
Oh, I have no idea.
I think Killing Eve is the show on like
I just
BBC.
Know she's a great actress.
But he like
said,
look
whatever it is.
I don't know all the receipts, but I know the most important receipt.
Right.
Okay. Cares. But yeah.
But yeah. So congratulations to all the Emmy nominees.
Shout
We're
out
so
to
excited for you guys, and we will be watching and rooting for everybody black.
Everybody, every single one
of
y'all.
Want to go on to the topic of Hello Dolly. Last week, Amber was here. She was explaining how
she broke it on down.
She did break it down.
And she broke it all the way down.
Again, how she, you know, had picket signs.
Come. We will not be moved.
Listen.
We shall overcome. Okay, that's what it gave.
So Playbill had a quiz where they asked, you know, which Dolly are you? And there were five Dollies to choose from, depending on what answers you gave in this quiz. But none of the, like the Dollies that you could be were black or Pearl Bailey just wasn't on there.
Not at all. Like the bottom line.
Right. Pearl Bailey should have been on there, but she was not. And so we had to have a, you know, people had to have a conversation.
Exactly.
With,
mind you, Pearl Bailey, the woman who won, they had to create a Tony for her in 1968 because that's how she slayed in the
role.
She slayed
it.
Right? They made up a Tony for
her. A Tony.
And just to put it in context, 1968, the same year Dr. King was assassinated, they created a Tony for her because that's how she slayed in the role. And you're not a part of the quiz.
It was a revival, so like at that time, like they didn't have like she was coming in, like it's just so crazy to me. Like she didn't have the opportunity to win this award, but they gave it to her anyway. That's how dope she was. Like,
yeah. Bottom line.
But Playbill wasn't thinking, and they put out this quiz because they don't have to. They don't have to think about, you know, anybody else. Or they can just be. White people just be.
And like but, that's the thing that we need to continue to challenge.
Yeah, and so I mean Ambry Mon and Antoine L. Smith, you know, posted some things and they, you know, gathered the people to really set Playbill straight. And Playbill came back and apologized and, you know, released a statement. They also did a whole nother quiz and like five more Dollies, they said.
And that was also a problem though.
I mean, that was, you know, that was shady. Like you know, we don't want five more Dollies. We want
exactly
the original, right?
Exactly.
Because
it's not about
that. Right. Like, I'm just not going to get mad. Like, I don't have any energy to get mad because I feel like I'm just going to end up saying the wrong thing. So I'm just going, that happened. Amber held it down. You know, I saw everybody tagging Broadway Black, but I just sat back in the cuff because I don't be wanting to be that person all the time.
And then also what I think in terms of Broadway Black, what was so beautiful is you said you sat back in the cut because so many people galvanized where I would believe, and you can correct me if I'm wrong, where you were able to sit back in a cut because
everybody else was
pushing forward, right? With their, like you said, picket signs.
Yeah.
We shall not be moved. We shall overcome. But like, that's what it is all about. And
we have to come together as a community.
Exactly. And like, I remember saying, like, that's what we have to continue doing, not just in the moments where we have these fuck ups, but even in those quiet moments when they think, oh, we good. Everything is cool.
Theater's so diverse.
Exactly. Eat that. I would take it as far as to say that is when we really should be like lighting it up. Like, look, y'all need to have this happen. Y'all need to make these changes. We need to see more of a change and more inclusion, right? Throughout. But yeah.
I'm over asking to be seen.
Yeah.
Like, and that's daunting too. Like, you know, I was just saying what I was saying last week was to Amber, like, I'm glad that they did that.
Mm-hmm.
But imagine always being having your thumb on the pulse of what's happening and consistently getting these stories, because we talk about this every single week. We talk about some shit
every
white people
week.
Do every week, and we're tired
and
of
it's
that, but
annoying.
We don't make the news, we just talk about it.
Like, annoying.
It is annoying as fuck, but to think about having to do that every day, having to be surrounded by that or be a voice every day, that is draining as fuck. And we're just not built as human beings. We're not built to
be. We shouldn't have to be.
We shouldn't have to.
We shouldn't have to be built to constantly endure.
Like, I just
right?
want
to constantly
us.
Have to, like, that's what
Can
it's
I just
about.
Celebrate us?
Like, that's what it's about. Like, why do we always have to be in the space of enduring, of, like, having to, like, persevere? Like, why can't we just be?
Yeah.
Why can't we just have joy? Why can't we, like you said, celebrate, right? Just exist in these spaces.
Yeah, I can't. Well, we're going to move on. Amber sent us this. Did you watch that video about Maya Angelou was supposed to be
I didn't see it.
So, I guess her son came out. This was a couple years ago. I saw this video before.
And it was an emotional video, right?
It was a little emotional. I mean, not necessarily like
okay, because I think like in like the like caption picture, it looked like somebody was on the verge of tears. I was like, I do not
want
to.
What
wanna...
else her son? I think he just old. So I don't think he like, you know how people, you know, old people.
What do you mean?
Because you know how like some old people, like they face end up looking like they just shitting all the time. Oh my God, don't act like I'm like, why are you out here acting like I'm just being
they
crazy?
Face look like they shitting all the time. I've actually never heard it like that. Ever.
Always look like they pushing, like.
And mind you, he just demonstrated. He put his hand on the armrest and pushed his hand.
I can't.
Lord, I hope I don't see an old person and the first thing I think, you shitting?
Right.
Because now that's going to go through my head because of you. Oh, my God.
But, like, no, he wasn't crying or nothing. But this particular video is in a clip from American Masters Maya Angelou and Still I Rise, a PBS documentary about her life. And Angelou's son, or Angelou, is it Maya Angelou?
Maya Angelou.
Angelou's son, Guy Johnson, gets emotional remembering one particular hardship she experienced at the arms of Emmy-winning actress Pearl Bailey. Now, we just supported, like, we love Pearl Bailey.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
We love her. And but,
what's tea?
But this is tea.
What's tea? Spill the tea.
So the year was 1967, and Hello, Dolly, one of Broadway's biggest hits, was in the middle of its third year, with ticket sales beginning to sag in the wake of original star Carol Channing's departure. Producer David Merrick decided to recast the production with an all-black cast led by Bailey. Angelou, then a struggling actress and singer touring across the states with her Calypso and Blues Nike act, was brought into audition for Bailey's understudy. And her son says, for my mother, it would have meant living continuously in New York without leaving me for at least a year.
Hmm.
And it was regular money. So that was a big deal. And at this time, you know, her son is 72 years old. So he is old. That's why he looked like that.
Mm-hmm. He just had to get that back out there real quick. He had to make sure we knew. Go ahead.
But Angelou was not given the role. A decision Johnson claims was made by Bailey. Pearl Bailey, the director and the producer both loved her, Johnson said. But Pearl Bailey came back and said, oh, no, I ain't going to have this big old ugly girl be my understudy. According to Johnson, the moment destroyed
this
her.
This is tea.
There are very few times in my life I remember my mother crying, he said, because this meant she had to go back on the road and find other work. It was devastating because I knew all the sacrifices my mother made to keep me. Bailey would go on to win a Tony Award for her role in the all-black version of Hello, Dolly, which ran for 2,844 performances from
Lord.
November 12th, 1967 to December 27th, 1970.
Ooh.
Thelma Carpenter was cast as Bailey's understudy and alternate for all matinees. Famously subbing for Bailey more than 100 times and at one point playing the role for 7 straight weeks. Years later, Angelou would find fame as an author. You know, we know her.
Mm-hmm.
And she would go on and... But I think that's so crazy.
My mouth was agape. That's crazy.
Ain't that crazy? But why would Pearl call her ugly? Big old ugly girl.
I can't.
Because Maya Angelou wasn't even ugly. She just had a big old gap. Maybe that's why. Maybe they, well, you know, back in the day, they had issues with, like, image and, like...
With everything, it felt like.
Right, because we were black, and we had to be pristine. We had to be...
And it was the, like, that's when the, like, what was it? The, like, brown paper bag test was a real deal thing.
Well, okay, so this is how they redeemed. So... Years later, after Angelou would find fame as an author, the two women came face to face again when Bailey was honored with a Lifetime Achievement Award. According to Johnson, his mother took the high road. They asked her, who do you want to give it to you? Johnson recounted, crying. She said, Maya Angelou, and guess who gave it to her and never said a damn thing? Gave her a Lifetime Achievement Award and never said anything about her. Wow, that's so...
That's actually really trifling.
Well, I mean, I don't think it's trifling, but I think that they understood and they knew. Like, she knew. Like, she said, if I'm getting a Lifetime Achievement Award, I want Maya Angelou to give it to me.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's sort of like...
And wait, this is what Pearl Bailey was saying.
Yeah, so they asked Pearl Bailey, who do you want to give you?
Oh, okay.
She said Maya Angelou.
Okay.
And Maya Angelou showed up and never said anything about what happened.
Okay, now I get it. Now I get it.
Yeah, so I think that's sort of like a redemption in a way.
It's taking a high road.
Well, yeah, because Maya didn't have to do it, because she could have been like, no.
No.
Right. She could have been like,
fuck what you heard.
But she did it.
Wow.
And that just shows you, because Oprah always talks about Maya Angelou and her grace and her wisdom.
Yeah.
But that just shows you where you have to be at in your life in order to forgive and move forward and still be able to stand tall and proud.
And that can be hard.
That can be
that
really
can be so hard.
You know, people that done me wrong.
Child.
If somebody come back and ask me that and done me wrong, ask me to give them a lifetime achievement award. Bitch, I'm saying something. Like, I'm saying something.
In the middle of the award ceremony.
All these achievements and you couldn't apologize. All these achievements, but you still, you know what I'm saying?
You still hurt. Trifling
right,
and
bitch.
Shady and you ain't shit, never will be shit.
Bitch. You know, that's in there too, because I'm definitely going.
I actually would live to go to that lifetime achievement. Okay?
Listen, I'm serious.
Yes, I would be that safari meme.
But I don't think any people that done me wrong would ever get a lifetime achievement.
Well, there you go. It's that part. It's that part.
Because y'all ain't shit. No way. Y'all ain't doing shit. Like, you know how you just start going off on me.
Doing the most. Right. The absolute most when a moment ain't never called for it.
Shit, fuck them.
Okay, well, there you go.
For real. But I just thought that was so interesting.
Wow. And then also, like, I just, like, I love hearing, like, the behind the scenes, the things that, like, you would never have known happened or existed. And that's actually some real tea.
It is. Like,
wow.
But that happens even in, like, current day.
Time.
I can't wait till, like, all the tea, like, comes out.
All the
from,
time.
From, like, these years we've been working in the industry. Like,
exactly.
So
it's
much,
so much.
So,
it is
like,
so
no, seriously.
Much tea.
So I'm, like, wondering, like, what will surface? What will people talk about 20 years from now, 30 years from now about the theater experience during this age and this time, and how much will we grow?
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, ooh, it's so much tea. I can't deal.
It's going to get spilled one day.
Yeah. Well, I mean, and what else happened this week? We didn't really got no.
Yeah, what else? Yeah.
We've been like.
I will say this week, I literally was under, like, writing Rock up in Poughkeepsie. So
yes.
I was like. Well, tuned out.
And so was
to
I.
The world.
I mean, I was tuned out of the world, but that's because I was just like. Purposely doing that,
chilling, and sometimes that's not sometimes. Like that is actually really necessary, though.
Oh, but don't bother you. Don't bother me. I can't cope.
Oh,
this week.
Right.
That's another thing. Make sure y'all go and see. Don't bother me. I can't cope. It's just one weekend. It's gonna be coming up this week
at City Center, right?
At City Center.
At City Center.
And it's I want. It's Mickey Grant or it's Mickey Howard. Which one is the singer and which one is the...
Don't get me lying, boy. Don't get me lying.
One is the playwright and one is the singer.
A Mickey. It's a Mickey.
Mickey, right. But I want to say Mickey Howard, or is that the singer? Okay, but...
A Mickey.
Don't bother me. I can't cope. It's coming up this week. I will be there to find out the invited dress rehearsal.
I'll be there, too.
Oh, you going?
Well, yeah, that's okay. The 24th.
Something, 26th, something.
I'll be there. I'll be there.
You know, I don't...
I'll be there.
I'm just trying to make it through today.
Come on now. We but making it, though. We almost there.
Because I didn't go to sleep till like 9 o'clock this morning. Because
you think you spring chicken, but okay.
Why?
Child, I don't know.
Why do I do this
I don't
to
know.
Myself? But I mean, I'm always out because I have great friends.
Yeah.
And we have great experiences. Mm-hmm. And, you know, don't be wanting to go home.
Meanwhile, I'll be in bed by 8:30.
Oh, my God.
Knocked out.
With the full furnace on.
Exactly. I took a nap today because I needed my nap. Pop need his nap.
I can't. You are a grandpa.
Yup. And people gag when I'm like, yes, I do not play that.
Mm-mm.
Let me go to bed.
I can't.
And then also because I wake up early. Like, I normally am up at like, I try to get up at like 5 or 6 to write.
Every day?
Not every day, but there, especially now with like a lot of the projects that are lined up. Like,
can you talk about any of these things? I know we just talked about it before we got on air. But anything you can mention yet?
I can't really go full force, but there are projects for stage and screen that I'm working on right now. So I'll say that, and there will be a week when I can spill all the tea.
Right,
but I'll say that there are projects for the stage and the screen that I'm working on right now that is keeping me super busy.
And the screen,
come through.
The American theater.
Come through.
Like, and Hollywood.
Yes.
Like, Hollywood.
Very that.
Hollywood.
And they are working a brother. But yeah, so since it's so many projects, like, I have to really be diligent with my time and, like, organize and structure. So I wake up early.
So this is a good time, too, to talk about...
let's get it.
Pose.
Pose, and the finale is tonight.
Oh, tonight is the finale.
Tonight is the finale.
Oh, my gosh. Yes. Like,
yeah.
Yeah, we definitely needed a season two.
Yeah. But and then, like, also with, like primetime, like, cable networks, you don't get a lot of episodes anyway. You normally get, like, around
eight. I was thinking, like,
at the max, at the max 10.
Yeah.
But it's normally, like, about eight of them.
Okay. Well, I mean.
But this season was
Well, Ryan Murphy, those shows, he usually be having, like, 22 episodes in a season, you know, with the American Horror Story and shit.
Yeah.
But I guess then, this is a new thing.
Yeah.
But hopefully we get more than eight next season.
Yeah, that's a hope. Because there's a season two, y'all.
There's a season
Come
two. I'm
through.
Really happy. I'm really happy for all the cast members.
Yeah.
But what made me think about it, because Billy came and saw your show.
Yeah.
And he was directing a show up at...
Yeah, directing a show up there, a Dan McCabe's show, The Purist, I think was what it was called.
Did you see it?
I wasn't able to, because that was on... My show was Friday night. Mm-hmm. That show was Saturday night, but
we
left... Saturday morning.
We was out of there.
Yeah.
That train ride was so long, but... but Pose is like, I really, really enjoy what these actors, and a lot of these actors are... theater actors.
Yeah, and that's what I love so much, like, just seeing all of these shows and, like, having so many theater people, not just on the screen, but in the writer's room as well.
Oh, yes.
Yeah.
Wait, who do you know that's writing on the show?
I don't know who's writing on that show in particular, but just in general.
Oh, okay.
Just in general, which is
well, yeah,
it's
like,
a beautiful time.
I never really, I never really realized how many people working in the theater transfer over to television once they get, like, the right...
It's a lot.
Get in the right spaces.
It's a lot. And then also, I'll say, and, like, this isn't the sole reason, but I will say it is a very valid reason.
That money.
The coin is real.
Yeah.
The coin is real. And then also, it forces you...
That makes people leave the theater. That's what I'm telling you.
It forces you as a writer just to be in a writer's room. Like, those hours are no joke. The structure is no joke. So, I'm realizing now more and more, like, all I'm doing is writing right now, which I love. Like, I love writing. It's one of those things that, like, okay, nigga, if you love writing this much, we're going to throw it at you.
Yeah.
And, like... And that's
like,
just
go, nigga.
Exactly like that's just the writing side of it, right? But yeah, it's just and that's one of the reasons why I keep hearing, which I believe 100%, like, this is the golden age of television right now.
It is,
because there's so many shows out there.
The variety.
A lot of stories are so strong.
They're getting better.
Yeah.
They're getting better with representation.
Like, look at Pose.
I am in love with Pose.
Come through.
Like, some of the acting is really trash. But some of them are really putting in the work.
Popping.
Yeah, some of them are putting in the work, and it's evident, and it shows. And it's, you know, I've never, you know, I didn't come out until I was 25, right before I moved to the city.
Mm-hmm.
And to grow up in the church and to grow up in an environment that was not accepting of gay people or ballroom culture, don't even know what that is.
Yeah.
But, you know, I told my mama, I said, Mama, you need to watch Pose. She said, what is that? Why I gotta watch that? I said, because you got a gay son.
Come through.
And you need to learn about what it means to have a gay son.
Boop, boop, boop. All doing the most. And you was probably just shaking that head like that. The most.
But I wanted my mom to see it, because also I was learning things too that I didn't really, you know about. I had watched Paris is Burning, but I didn't really understand, because I didn't have that.
Like, the full culture of it.
I didn't understand the culture because I didn't have that experience growing up.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I was loved, but being gay was not something that was acceptable.
Mm-hmm.
That was not, and, you know, people didn't agree with who I am.
Yeah.
And people still don't agree with who I am, even though it's not something for them to agree with.
Say it.
But, you know, that's neither here nor there at the moment. What I'm saying is that Pose and, you know, Paris is Burning and that particular ballroom culture was not something that I was. I was one of those, I'm not that type of gay.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I don't go to the gay club type of gay.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I love a club.
Come through.
Like, I'm comfortable.
Because, like, these are safe
these are safe spaces. I pause, got to think about what happened back in like 2016.
What?
At Pulse.
Yeah.
But essentially, like clubs and like these places were created to be safe spaces.
But you know, I thought
for community.
Yes, but I used to use it as a tool or weaponize that to make myself feel better about being gay.
Like you said, like I'm not this sort of
gay. Right, I'm not
because I don't do this.
Right.
I don't do that.
And I think that it's beautiful. Like, I was even telling you yesterday, I want to go to Drag Race camp.
Come through. And I was like, is that a real thing?
No.
But I Drag Race camp, come through.
I play Miss Raj.
Yeah, I was, because that literally was the first thing popped into my head. And I wish I saw that.
But I think that I really loved that character and really did a lot of research on that. And I love depth and people with different experiences. But I think that Drag Race is such a beautiful art form and that it's such a hard competition.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm saying Drag Race, but I'm saying drag in general. Is a beautiful art form. But Drag Race, the competition, is something that
they
I would want
to... They put you through the ringer.
Yeah, I would want to compete. Like, I'm very competitive.
Come through.
I feel as though I'm cute.
Come through.
I'll shave this beard off and
come
like...
Come through.
But I just need somebody like to put me through a Drag Race camp.
What would
to,
your
like,
drag
prepare.
Name be?
I don't know. I haven't even like thought about that particular. I want to see. I need to see her first.
Come through. I need to see her.
I need to
live in her skin.
Yeah, I need to get
okay.
Her. Like, you know what I'm saying? I need her to be here.
I need to get up in she.
Yeah, I need to create her, and then I'll be able to name her.
I would live.
But I really feel like that's something that I could like do, and like I would audition for Drag Race.
You better slay.
Like, but I feel like they would think that because I'm just doing it for the competition because I'm not a
like full-on performer outside of it.
Right. Would they even accept me to be a part of like or try to do that?
I know like there were some because what the 10th season just ended and there were some and they were amazing. Like before the season started, like they just started like drag like 6 months prior, so like it was. And like not just the 10th season, but like other seasons as well. Like there were some contestants who were super duper new to drag.
Oh, wow.
And you would not be able to tell because they were so polished and just like so refined.
So they went through Drag Race camp. I need to
come
know
through.
Who taught them.
Come through.
So yeah,
hit them up.
Like Bob, the drag queen. Somebody, if y'all listen to the show, I know y'all be in the theater. Y'all be working and shit.
Come
even
through.
Even stage manager, what's his name?
Oh, Jeremy Kyle Lewis.
Is that his name?
For the stage manager for Sugar. Who are you talking about?
The light-skinned man that always be backstage at Sugar.
Yeah, the stage, Jeremy.
Was he the stage manager? Light-skinned, curly hair?
Jeremy, Kyle Lewis, was our stage manager.
But he does drag, doesn't he?
I don't know what he does. I don't know if he does drag specifically, but I do know for every, the closing night of every show, he wears one of the woman's dresses and takes a picture.
Oh,
and
really?
He did that for Isabel.
I was
and he got this bomb-ass picture where he's in Isabel's like entire getup from the first scene she's in, and the actress, Fern, who played Isabel, he had her
the
right next to her. Yeah, the bonnet, the 4-9. The curls and everything. And Fern, who played Isabel, was sitting next to him reading the book.
Oh my God. I can't.
But so I don't know if he does drag, but like I know it's like he has a ritual to close night for every show.
If we're talking about the same person, I've seen him on Facebook.
Oh, yes. You're right. Like, now I'm thinking about his.
He's done Beyonce.
I'm thinking about his like IG.
Beyonce. Like he be having to fit.
Slays.
Like he slays.
Slays down.
So I'm gonna ask him to teach me.
Come through.
But I just don't want to shave my facial hair.
Well, I mean, then you don't want to be a drag queen.
Okay.
That's the bottom line. That's the bottom line.
You just told me.
It don't get no clearer than
bitch.
That. Bitch.
You just told me. Shit.
Okay.
So we're going to move right along to our questions. Y'all, I'm struggling today.
Really?
You have lifted
You're
me up.
You're actually doing really good.
You have lifted me up, but I am struggling today.
Come through. We're moving through this.
We are. We had to be here for the people.
Yeah.
Since
I mean last week.
Somebody just tweeted me something. What is this?
Oh, no, since you being tweeted.
Somebody said, great seeing Tony Award winning African-American actor L. Scott Caldwell on recent Queen Sugar episode. That's awesome. I love that.
Like I said, the theater is up in there.
They like
the
everywhere.
The theater is
Lisa
up
Tommy
in there.
Is directing a Marvel movie or something to do with Marvel.
Yeah, she is slaying. Like, she directed episode of Queen Sugar.
Yeah.
She's going to be directing, what is her name? The Nigerian woman writer, Chiamanda? What's the name? Look, this Nigerian writer, like, she had... on Beyonce's...
Oh, okay. I know
you know what I'm talking about now? Yeah, all I had to say was Beyonce.
Right.
But yeah, and so she has a book that Lizzo will be...
I need to know her name.
Direct... Is it her? Well, I know Lizzo will be directing a movie.
On the book.
I think it may be her book, but if not, I know for sure she's directing a movie set in South Africa, if I'm not mistaken. Lupita is going to be in it. Yeah, like, theater is...
Popping.
Yeah, come through.
I love that.
The foundation...
I love that. So we're going to go into this listener letter. We did like three listener letters
last
week.
We really did.
And they were so good.
We're
so sorry. We're going to do them again. When Amber gets back, we will come back because she gave some good tidbits too. So I want to make sure that we include her in that as well. So we're only going to do one question today. But I thought this was appropriate. It says, hey guys.
Ooh, this look long.
My name is Dallas.
Because I already am looking over. I'm like, y'all write dissertations up in here.
Now, I believe I've read this previously before I've read this to myself. So I've read this.
Okay.
Because, you know, I usually cold read.
Mm-hmm.
But I think I've read this.
Come through.
So it says, my name is Dallas, and I recently started listening to your podcast after randomly searching Broadway on the Apple Podcast
app. Oh, you found us.
I have to say that I really love your podcast, and I'm super proud of all the work that you all are doing for people of color in the theater. I also think it's really great that there are other people that are honest about their love for the theater and the struggles that black actors and entertainers face in this industry. Because, girl, we face it.
Mm-hmm.
Every day. Yeah, I started.
Already you was ready to go off. Right. You still got three more paragraphs. And you scroll through real quick to see how many paragraphs you still read. I caught you.
I can't stand you. So she says, I have one question. I'm a black writer, and I really enjoy it. It's something that I've always done on the side or as a hobby. I was a theater actor for a while, but then I started working and kind of lost track. More recently, I've started missing the theater after seeing a few Broadway shows, and I want to get back into it. But on the behind the scenes side of things. Mm-hmm. When I was in high school years ago, I wrote a play, and more recently I've been trying to get back into it so that I can keep honing my craft.
Come on, writer.
The one problem I have is taking my story from my mind to the paper. My question to you guys is, what advice would you give to someone that is interested in writing someday professionally for the theater specifically, and how to take those ideas in your mind and put them down on paper? Any advice that you have will be great. I look forward to hearing more of your podcast and your stories. Dallas.
Yeah.
I'll jump right in.
Like, literally the first thing, which is the most important thing, is you just got to do it.
Yeah.
Like, I know it sounds easier said than done, and it sounds super simplistic, because it really is. Like, you literally just have to do it. And, like, I know every writer's regimen is different. Like I said, for me, I have to wake up early to start to write. And
what do you be like? Do you even eat?
Sometimes I actually forget to eat because I just get so invested.
What your brother be saying when you get early?
He be knocked out, child. He be knocked out. And then also, like, he is in visual arts, so he'll go straight to his computer and, like, edit in a project or what have you. But and then also it's quiet time. So it's not like I'm making a whole lot of noise doing all of this OD stuff, but it's finding out whatever your regimen is. It may not be waking up early. I know some writers who they work best in the afternoon. Some writers work best in the evening or at night. Some writers are parents, and so they have to find pockets of time. So it really does vary. But at the end of the day, the thing that we all do is write.
Yeah.
And I know for me, what helped is understanding who I was, like understanding the fullness of myself, and understanding, one, who I write about and who I write for. And for me, it's particularly black queer people.
Mm-hmm.
And I've even surprised myself at all the narratives and stories that are out there for black and queer people. So understanding, again, who you are, who you want to write about, and who you want to write for. I will say, though, within the theater community, getting to certain levels, it is very white. but still with that, don't compromise your voice. Right. Whatever your voice may be, don't feel like, oh, I have to write this particular way so that this will be produced. I have to write about these people so this will be produced. We were just talking about at the top of the episode for the reading that I had, there's like a line where one of the characters refers to somebody as like bull. This is a very common reference and term and pronoun in Philly just to describe somebody. And I remember...
You also said John a lot, too.
John a lot, because that's also a very real Philly thing. And I remember when I was in school and I presented that play, there was a whole conversation about, like, who Bull is, like, what does Bull mean? And I already knew, and, like, I let them know I'm not changing it because this is rooted to the people. So don't feel like you have to change who you are or what you want to write about. Just at the end of the day, write. Figure out whatever your regimen is and just tell those stories.
That's
like it gets no clearer advice than that. Literally, just know who you are, know who you want to write about, know who you want to write for, and just write it. And then in terms of like just, I guess, like tips and structures, this is one thing that actually just like stuck with me. And I remember this was a tip from Juilliard. And this is something that even now I still do.
Come on, give away that free education.
Which is, so if you ever get stuck, and you're like, okay, I don't know what to write. I don't know what's going on right here. Just think about everything that that character touched and just write down every single thing that you think that character has ever touched in their entire life. If it was a phone, if it was Altoids, if it was a bottle of water, if it was a pen, if it was a football, if it was a microphone, if it was a keyboard, literally write down everything you think that character has ever touched from the time they popped on out of their mama till when we meet them in the play that you're writing. And what you can do with that is you can look through it, because 9 times out of 10, you'll be able to find something in there that that character touched that might help influence you and inform your character even more. So just like little tips and little tricks like that can help activate you if you ever do get stuck when you're writing. But and there's like other tips as well, but just figuring out different things that help activate you as a writer. But yeah,
I can't even come behind that, because you just gave all the good
come
the
through
tea.
Come
but through. What I will say is that you better say start it somewhere. Don't think about the full scope of the story. Just start someplace. You will always come back. You will always be able to edit. You will always be... It will change.
Yeah.
So you're not going to be married to the words, so you don't have to... They don't have to feel... They don't have to be pressured. It doesn't have to feel pressured. And I think that's a lot of times with me where I feel as though, because I start thinking about the bigger picture and like the whole story, and just take it one step at a time, one line at a time, and you will get there. It will... You'll look up and it'll be 100-something pages.
Come through. And I remember once hearing that when you read a published play, when you go, because you were talking about and what you wrote, like seeing Broadway plays, when you see a Broadway play, off-Broadway regional plays that are produced, know that that is the finished product.
Right.
Like that play, that production, that published play has started somewhere,
so
and you saw
pages.
The end result of it. Right. Right. So like Drew said, you got to start somewhere. You got to start somewhere and just go for it. But
and
yeah,
you know, I'm even telling myself this because
you better speak over yourself.
Well, yeah, because I still have yet to release some of the things I've written. Articles, I've written pieces, I've written reviews, but I have not yet to release those. Those things have been for me right now. And it just takes, I think it takes time for me to be able to start sharing those things again.
Yeah.
It took a while for me just to being able to even write at all. And so now that I'm in a place where I'm writing again, it's taking some time for me to start sharing those things as well. But this is also, you know, dealing with, you know, my mental health and my mental health and really taking care of myself and figuring out what that means for me. What does taking care of myself, what does that lifestyle look like? And so it just, I'm speaking to myself as well. Like, we have to just start somewhere. Get to a place where you, it doesn't have to, you don't have to think about anybody else viewing it or reading it. Do it for you. Do it for yourself, because it makes you complete. It makes you whole. You are getting something out. It's cathartic.
And that's going to be the most fulfilling at the end of the day.
Yeah. It's going to benefit you the most. Pretty soon I'll start sharing some things, but until then,
come on now.
You can catch Broadway Black and my healing and things of that nature, BroadwayBlack.com, but also we start the mental health support group the 30th, which is next Monday.
Hey!
At MTC.
Yes.
Yeah, so make sure you check out the website. All the details will be there. And right. I'm excited to talk with some of you and see you and hold you and hug you, because I think that's relevant. And I don't care if it's only three people there.
Come on.
But I really
want to. Is it three people that are supposed to be there?
Exactly. Mm-hmm. I really want to start building a community, because I know a lot of us come from different places. We're a lot of transplants, and we don't have the support, the mental support that we need, because family just don't get it. They don't understand this industry all the time. And so we need that. So July 30th, we will do that. And then I'll be gone for 2 weeks.
Yeah, you're going to be living your life.
Well, you know, I'm about to be 31.
Yeah.
And
acting like a spring chicken.
You know, like, Lord, Father God, I feel like I'm still in college. Like, I still be acting like I'm still in college, and I need to stop that. But, like, I think it's because I'm like 30 and I'm like trying to get it
like,
all out. Like, I want to, like, I can still do this.
You can.
And I'm paying for it.
You are.
But yeah, I'll be 31. So I'm going to go to San Juan. And just really.
Is that in Mexico?
That's in Puerto Rico.
Puerto Rico. Let me shut up. Thought I knew, thought I was cultured just a little bit. And he like, you ain't.
Ooh, that's so funny. Well, I mean, I would have done the same shit, so didn't talk about you. But I'm going to go to San Juan for a week and just really take some time to recenter, regroup. Mm-hmm. And then maybe when I get back, I'll start sharing some pieces that I've written.
Come on through. Oh, that's going to be amazing. I'm so excited for you.
That's my hope, but I'm not going to push it. Mm-hmm. Because Broadway, you know, like I said, I've been telling you how to go to BroadwayBlack.com, and we are still, I'm still working, but I know that we haven't been releasing material in that way. And I know people are looking for that. And like, well, what the fuck do he do?
Like, I know we'd be you make like, people so ignorant.
Well, what the fuck do he do?
What the fuck he do?
Right, like.
You make people so ignorant, Manji.
But I do shit on my own time. That's what I do.
Bloop.
Okay. And I'm just now getting back. Like I said, I'm just now getting back to a space where I'm healthy again and taking on one thing at a time.
Amen.
This was the first thing this podcast, you and Amber, like, saved my life. And so I'm glad to be back doing this. And the mental health support group is something else that is really passionate about. And once I get back and I'm recentered, I probably will start releasing material again.
Come on now.
And so I'm excited about that. But then I go to Chicago to do some Broadway Black work and to see some family. For us, I'll be in Chicago for a week. So if you're Chicago, shout out.
Hey, like, now.
Up. Like, I want to see the theater. I want to see, like, if it's something that, like, I don't know about or something, like, I'm trying to go off the path. Like, I want to see the forgotten spaces, the forgotten pieces.
It's not all mainstream. Yeah.
The unseen.
Oh, yeah. I
like
want to
put my eyes on the unseen.
Come through.
Yeah.
You got a speaker word. Yeah.
Yes.
Come on
so
through.
So I'm excited about that. And I really, really, so hit me up, y'all. I'm going to be in Chicago. And I would
Ooh,
love
I
to see
I want to put my eyes on the unseen. Yeah.
I'm going to have to put that on a t-shirt.
That's a good one.
Hallelujah.
That hit me in the spirit. I want to put my eyes on the unseen. That hit me in the spirit. That's a good one.
Hallelujah.
Ooh, I might put that into play.
Okay.
Come through.
Conceived by.
I can.
Drew Shade. We'll put it in the Bad Boy musical.
Ooh, yeah. Take that.
But you saw Faith and Stevie J got married this week. Okay.
Well, I don't even know. I was under a rock. I'm learning it now. Okay.
Yeah, Faith was talking about she eat Biggie ass. But okay, that's another show. Another show. We thank y'all so much. We thank y'all so much for joining us.
Thank y'all. This was good.
It was good, wasn't it?
This was really good.
Yeah, it's like me and you, because you know we just talk.
Yeah, that's literally what it was.
I wish Brandon was here. We should have had Brandon come in.
Child, y'all would have been shady ladies. I can't take them when they're together sometimes. Y'all just so shady. Lord have mercy.
Me and Brandon was talking throughout that play.
I know y'all was. I know y'all was. Lord have mercy.
We talking to each other. Oh my goodness.
I'm like, Sean.
Didn't I call one of the people late?
You probably did.
Call one of the characters late.
I think
late.
You did. You did.
That's so damn late. I was mad at that point. But yeah. Oh my God. I love you, Danye.
I love you,
like,
you too.
You my nigga, man.
Come on.
For real, for real. Like, we've been through it.
Yeah. But here we are.
Because you, like, when I really think about it, we shouldn't like each other.
Really?
Well, I mean, because you're so nice and shit, but, like, you know, I popped off a couple times.
You did.
And you just didn't give a fuck.
I did.
And so we shouldn't like each other. So, like.
But I liked you.
You did.
So,
and I liked you too.
Aww.
This my friend, y'all.
Come on, boo.
And he moving. He moving to L.A. in 2 years, but.
Lord. Lord.
Bye, y'all. We
Bye, out here.
Thank
y'all.
Y'all so much for listening to another episode of Off Book presented by Broadway Black. We've just hit our mark and we've gone off book and we're out. This is Drew Shade.
Danya Love. And imagine hearing Princess Amber Mine.
Amber Mine. We love you. See you next week, Amber.
Yes, y'all.
Hopefully, because she's if she's not booked.
Ciao.
She probably is booked.
Peace.
She'll be here. Bye, y'all.
Hey, it's Leslie Odom Jr. here on the Broadway Podcast Network to tell you about the RISE Theater Directory, a program of Maestro Music. RISE is a national online resource designed to connect and empower backstage and administrative and creative theater professionals from underrepresented backgrounds. If you work or aspire to work in the theater community, this can help you find your next project. And if you hire theater professionals, search the RISE Theater Directory to find your next team. Create your profile now and get more information by visiting risetheater.org. That's theater with an RISETHEATRE.org, because only together we rise.